their actual age?
Well, at common law, it could be anywhere from 15 to 21. Most states, it's 18. Or most countries, let's say, it's 18.
Right.
So it depends on the law form you're looking at.
Right. Mm-hmm. The point I'm trying to make when I say that is that it's subjective to where you are and who your government is.
Correct.
I'm saying that to the listeners out there, is that everybody lives somewhere different. Some countries, you can drink a beer if you can see over the counter. Other places, you got to be 19 when you can go die for your country at 17. So, you know.
I like the counter rule myself. I like that counter rule.
Yeah, me too.
The rest of it would be it's gotta be certain, it's gotta be a meeting of the minds. You both have to agree what it means.
Right. And that's proved how.
Well, normally you would want it in the simplest language possible. I go by keep a simple, stupid kiss. And that way there really isn't the way that you could say, well, hey, I didn't agree to mow your lawn. You know, I agreed to come look at your lawn. You know, so you want to make the wording as simple as possible. The greatest contracts are very short, very short. If it's a long contract, someone's trying to screw you.
And when the final agreement is made, how is it ratified? How is it set?
Autographs by both parties or multiple parties, depending upon what's contained within it.
Right, right. So, I mean,
so
So when I got told I had BC Medical and didn't agree on it or sign for it, they basically forced the contract on me without reciprocation.
Well, and in commercial law, there's what's called tacit or quasi-contracts, where you're accepting a benefit and they consider that consent.
Oh, by shutting up and not saying anything.
Or by using the service.
Or by using the service, right. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
That's not a lawful contract, though. That could be challenged.
I've seen things where there's two different kinds of contracts that might apply to you, or one would apply to you as a person, a man with arms and legs, or hands and legs, as you put it, and then there's also the contract, the corporate you.
Hey, what do you call that? No arms and no legs floating in the lake?
Boss. Boss. Anyways. So there's a corporate you, right? The corporate you. Because you're a dead entity, according to the, you know, as far as government is concerned, the moment you have a birth certificate, you're a dead entity, and you are that corporation that they create in your name. Is that not correct?
Well, partially. I mean, really, you're the Sesame Trust. The person is the Sesame Trust, so you could look at it. I know in the States, it's the Sesame Trust. There's also a corporation of some kind, and then there's the war name. Because we're enemies of the state here.
Yeah. Well now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been dying to ask you this. This is jumping way ahead, but I just, like, what is their declaration of war? Because we didn't make it on them. They made it on us a long time ago, and I get that. Do you have a definitive idea? I'm not, if you don't.
I can say only for Americans I can. I mean, worldwide, I don't know. But Americans, it was the Emergency Banking Relief Act of 1933.
Yeah, after the Depression, right?
Yes, they amended the clause in the 1917 Trading with the Enemy Act to subject Americans to that act. And that's where the registration, the licenses, all came into play.
And that's when they started backing our asses with gold and then turning around in 67, I believe? And then killing the gold standard.
Nixon, I think 71 or 72, actually.
Was it 71 or 72? Okay.
Yeah, I've got somewhere around there.
You're close, within a year or so.
Yeah, you're close.
Wow. But yeah, anyway, that said, let's get into the insurance policies here. Because you were saying, okay, in the big mix-up, in the midst of all of this refugee shit that's going on now, I mean, we're no stranger to refugees leaving a war-torn society. We're kind of long in the tooth, so I'm sure we've all seen it happen numerous times. Most recently, I remember the Kosovars and what have you, and that whole shenanigan. Now we got all these Syrian refugees going around. How does that impact this whole insurance thing? You were saying something about, in the phone call when you explained it, you said something along the lines of that everybody is backed by the Vatican with their birth or their movement to another country. How does that work?
So basically, each country is just a different administration of the trust. And so if you were to move from one country to the next, your SESCV account and policies all follow you.
Right.
And really what's happening at the highest levels right now, which is the Pope is coming in to sign off on this weekend, is the territories, or we call nations, are being redivided, and the assets of those are being redivided as well. And so you see these people being moved around. That's because someone's the winner and someone's the loser. I call it the game of Risk. It's like the old board game of Risk is what's happening behind the scenes.
You know, Game of Thrones is a good show.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's another topic for another show.
Right. So, you know, as you move to another country, and it's also part of social engineering because they want to break up the customs of that people. They want the and I don't want to sound racist because I'm not. I love all people, but they want the interbreeding, the mixing of the races, so then you're screwing with the customs of a people, and that changes society.
Back home in Hamilton, we used to call that whitewashing everyone.
Correct, yeah.
And you know, no offense to the Greeks.
Right, but it's all part of the social engineering to break up the families.
Yeah.
And to keep everyone from coming together, because we're all one people of the earth. And we're actually against a few thousand that are controlling it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, first they break up the families, and now they got the whole LGBT thing. Now nobody's even comfortable with who they are. I mean, people don't even get along with themselves anymore.
No, you're battling yourself. Yeah, that's exactly. You're battling yourself at this point. I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it's diabolical.
Yeah, if you're evil, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you got to hand it to these guys. These guys are brilliant at what they do.
Yeah, and they cover their asses on every single level. Like,
correct.
Horrible. So, what, in your opinion, would be the first step in trying to combat such an entity?
Well, we went back to the biblical roots, because biblical law is the highest form of law on earth at this point. And so we just looked at it and we said, okay, how were we to remedy problems according to looking at that? And it was you go to the person that's harming you and you say, hey, you're doing this to me. And I just need you to do this to remedy that, and we'll have no problem. We can go back to being brothers again. And so that's what we did here in West Virginia, was we just petitioned all three branches and said, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Right. And here's what you can do to fix it, and then we'll be happy again. We'll all be friends. And of course, they didn't answer. And the next step would be you then take it to the magistrate. And in this case, it would be the court. So we took it to the court that had original jurisdictions for writs, because we wanted writs of mandamus. We wanted them to be commanded to do certain things.
Right.
And that was our Supreme Court of Appeals in our state. That was the original jurisdiction for writs. So then we took the petition, which was affidavit in form, and said, okay, well, you've admitted these facts now. So we started off with 14 facts right out of the gate. And their own admissions, this is what they're doing. And then we took the contract, which was the Constitution, and said, well, here's where you're violating. And then we brought in some more of their codes, rules, and regulations to say, well, this is also where you're violating.
Right.
So we took their own admissions from
100% of everything he says, obviously, because he had a lot of things to say. But one of the things I do agree with is that segregation of language is how people get separated from the controlling fashion to those who are being oppressed. And, I mean, segregation of language happens across the board. They monetize off segregation of language. That's how you have your colleges, your universities. They
correct.
Create languages, and in order for you to learn this language, you have to pay X amount. And then a lawyer can't talk to a doctor can't talk to a plumber can't talk to
the fry guy at McDonald's.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. Yeah, precisely. And, you know, and that same segregation of language, though, is why the common folk feel like they can't fight for themselves.
Correct. And I call it legalese or doublespeak is what I call it, because they use the words that we think of from our common usage amongst each other and completely flip it on its head to mean
right.
something completely else. And so that's doublespeak, really, to me. That's doublespeak.
Yeah.
It's really technically fraud.
Yeah, and then they go and throw in, like, old English with your here-tos and theys and thous and shit. And then
and sprinkle a little bit of Latin in there.
Yeah. Oh, prima facie, yeah.
Sprinkle a little bit in there, and you've got everybody running around, and they've got to go to a lawyer,
For prima facie, please check your Wikipedia source. I'm sure they haven't fucked up on
that. Right. So we just use their own words, their own codes, their own statutes, their own case law against them. So look, this is what you've said. You've admitted we're the enemy. You've admitted your military nature. You've admitted this already in your own stuff, and we present it to them. And our principles and authorities was some biblical scripture and about 400 maxims of law and equity.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around how somebody could be empowered, just a regular everyday Joe, how they could be empowered to take their, not just their name back, and deny access to their straw man, maybe cut it down and burn it up if they choose so, and just feel empowered to be a human being of God's creation, a man with arms and legs. And
by the way, that's their wording, not ours. They right. made that up to put a lien on us.
Right.
So we used it against them.
Well, what they did is the opposite of what they've done to us. And let me digress. Think about it this way. Look at the freedom movement in the 70s. You know, we had all kinds of freedom movements. Well, we didn't have freedoms, technically, until they ratified and defined what those freedoms were. But the problem with that is now they're legislated. Now they're put into a definition, and with bureaucracy, you can nail it down and then take it away just as easy. Once it's defined, you can vote on it and remove that shit. So, that said, I mean, you understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, how can we turn it around? How can we turn around and do the same thing to them? Because, I mean, shit, there's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them.
Absolutely. And
I think the biggest... Sorry, I don't mean... I just want to just say that, like, there's so many more of us than there are of them, but a lot of people feel like, what the fuck can I do? How am I going to... there's nothing I can do. Somebody else will figure it out. Oh, these problems are bigger than... I've heard every damn thing in the book. Leave me alone. I just want to live my life. You know?
Well, that's apathy.
But I mean, at the same time, it's also... it's apathy, but it's also a little bit of... what do you call it when you just kind of give up? It's like, I'll just let somebody else take care of it. Because as long as it doesn't affect me right now, right here, then it doesn't exist.
Well, Hitler used that strategy beautifully, didn't he, in his country?
Right. Yeah, he did. But how do you feel that somebody could empower themselves to kind of just like realize that they are a person with arms and legs, even though they might not use them. But they have the ability to just be a person, combine with other people, and kick these sons of bitches out.
Well, depending upon your jurisdiction, I would say all the governments have been usurped fraudulently, and as such, if you put that forth and say, look, the contract's broken, it's a bill in equity for specific performance of contract, and that's one of the angles that we chose in this, which was we said, just perform according to the contract exactly, and we're fine.
Right.
But you have to make it known, you have to put the issue out there. It has to be out there for it to be addressed by them. So you have to say it to them.
Yeah.
Whether it's by petition, by complaint, by affidavit, and just get it out there to them. And then you need to take that to other people in your community. It needs to be a grassroots movement. From the bottom.
Are you telling me that people actually have to get out of their houses, their domiciles, their apartments, their shoeboxes, and actually get out and talk to other people in their community?
Well, as hard as that may seem to do now, that's really what you have to do.
Oh, I can see people are already getting the sweats. That's scary.
They're waiting for a hero.
You are your hero. There is no one coming to save you. They're just coming to enslave you.
That's right.
Right. And it's a matter of whether or not you're just going to wait to the last minute. You know, this is funny because I'm hearing all of my parents' remarks. Oh, you always wait to the last minute for everything. And here I am. I'm proactive and I'm a weirdo.
Right. Yeah. It's a grassroots movement, and if you get enough people together, form a council in your neighborhood. Like, I live in a neighborhood of about 100 houses. What if we all decided, you know what, screw our county. We're going to have our own little community here. We'll have our own venue jurisdiction law firm. We'll take care of our own problems.
I really like how you use that term. You just said it, in 100 houses. You're from House Stegan, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And I just want people to hear that. I mean, like, since you've expatriated, you've obviously given up your straw man.
Yeah, I've actually, through my expatriation, I claimed it, accepted it, continued the trust, and said, I'm the beneficiary and I'm the manager of it, and I'll tell you, the trustee, what to do with it.
Right. And a lot of people need to realize this, man. Like,
the reason they enslave you is because they assume by default they claim you're incompetent.
Right.
Okay. And by claiming you're incompetent, they can then, as trustee, do things that they want to do, whether it's for your benefit or not. So you have to become competent.
It's a bit of a double-edged barb, too, isn't it? Because they're saying, oh, you're incompetent, but people don't understand it, so they are incompetent, so they're kind of being laughed at and ridiculed at the same time. And they're being served in subservience.
Well, they're laughing at you because you don't know, but you should know. They've dumbed us down. That's a serious problem.
And if they did know, do you think they'd be incompetent?
Correct. It's a catch-22 almost with them.
I totally see it. That's why I said it's a double-edged barb. It's like,
absolutely. And so I actually have the Pope in default and dishonor since 2013 because he's failed to recognize what I told him to do, which was to close out the CVSS. That's because the Act of 1666 says when you come before someone in authority, meaning a judge, police, whatever, someone in authority, that would be government, and you say, look, I'm alive, they're supposed to revert the trust to you and it dissolves.
Right.
So they're violating the CSCP Act and trust law.
Now, I'm not sure. I've done a little bit of research, not a whole lot, but isn't the CSCP Act a lot like insurance drawn on slaves?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way, in a simplistic way, yeah.
Yeah, like it's very similar, like in its approach, and also... Yeah. In the way that it's actuated.
Correct.
See? Like, girls, all you have to like think about this. You know, you got to think about how you're being manipulated and not being manipulated. You know, you're being fooled into thinking that the government is the only game in town. Yet they're not, and everything that they're doing is completely and totally trite. There's nothing there. Like just like the Federal Reserve, just like you know, the money is practically fictitious. It just exists as ones and zeros. So do the laws that govern you, because like it goes right back to maritime and common law.
Well, they have you in admiralty, basically.
You're underwater.
Yeah, you're underwater.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's the basis from which we oozed out from, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is just Talmud, which is Codex Hammurabi, which is actually what the Pope is returning us to, by the way, when he leaves the UN.
Yeah, I just got wind of a parent's bench warrant for him, eh?
Yeah, he's been out there for a while, but he's being treated as the savior of the earth, and so I think he's probably got 10,000 around him, securing him. Good luck getting to him with that army.
Well, and this is just it, though. It's like, it's a pull. I mean, I pirated, like, hundreds of VHS movies when I was younger, and Interpol still hasn't come after me for those, so I don't think they're very effective at doing shit.
They're worthless. They're worthless.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's food for thought, though. At least somebody's got the balls to draft up a bench warrant. It just means that we need numbers to affect and enforce the, you know, the action of what their crime entails. I mean, you know, if we took it back to public stonings, I bet you there'd be a lot less crime.
There would be.
I mean, it's a deterrent. Right now, I mean, it's almost sexy to be a criminal.
Especially if you're wearing a three-piece suit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, so going back to the movement that you started, these petitions that got signed, I want to get back on point now. I just kind of wanted to set the stage for everything else here. Now, with these petitions, though, we've got 5 states in total out of 50. So, we got Alabama, Arizona, Texas, Florida, and Virginia, which you guys started out. These petitions have been filed, but there's no way to enforce them.
Well, they were just a petition. So if we weren't looking for enforcement, we were looking for them to do what they should do, which is correct their actions.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you could
hold your breath until you're blue in the corner, right?
But we didn't expect them to anything from it. We were just following a true law process that
right.
anybody could understand and
right.
and is actually superior in jurisdiction and venue and law form to theirs.
Right, and see if they would counter with another move. It's like a game of chess, kind of.
Almost, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I understand it completely. Now, if this had happened, that other states had also done similar actions, or provinces here in Canada, or other state countries and countries in Europe and what have you all across, I mean, if these things take place, I mean, they would just literally be pieces of paper with fingerprints on them, sitting in a file somewhere.
But it also lets them know that the people are paying attention, see? So, let's say we had the 3 of us in West Virginia do it, but then we had 100 other groups of people do it. The government takes notice someone's paying attention to what we're doing here.
Right.
And the more people you can have do it, the more likely you are to get them to at least change someone.
Right. Well,
so then after the 3 of us, because there's only 3 of us.
Yeah. Hey, I thought about that. I really honestly thought about that. And that was one of the things that just kept on rattling through my brain the entire time. I listened to the entire phone call. Even the travesty, like, through the last half hour, which was just nothing, but you got bombarded by troll activity. It was horrible. And I was just thinking, though, but, wow, like, you know, here's these guys. They're trying their damnedest just to affect some kind of a reaction from, you know, Joe Public and get some support, get some backing.
Correct.
And, like, I mean, it could be you three, it could be me, Rick here, it could be my it could be my buddy in Ontario, it could be, you know, that thing is that, you know, what do you think it would take to convince people? Now, this is, you know, you don't even have to answer this because I already kind of know the answer, but, like, what do you think it would take for people to, like, go, oh, yeah, I totally support that. A better government, a better world, a better future? That's awesome. Let's do it. Like,
well, the problem is that this was not, this was designed to give people the education, but what we were looking to actually do was to give the militias, who had complained for years that they had no leg to stand on to affect change, we were giving them a lawful leg to stand on. And we thought they would welcome it.
Yeah, but that's like me starting a search engine and then getting bought out by Microsoft. Like, the second any of these guys, like, actually make a move, the next, you know, the next level or the next stage of the beast would go, hey, I'll give you a paycheck. And you're going to be subservient.
Right, and we looked at Bundy Ranch, and that's what I looked at, actually, was to see that, you know, for the right cause, you can come together in sufficient numbers and you can affect change, because they did. This man is a corporate slave with corporate land, does not have a lodeal title, and he lost his case, and they came out there and said, no, you can't take his stuff even though he lost.
Right. Well, why... Hey... Here's what I don't get. Why the numbers there at the Bundy Ranch and not with what we are all trying to accomplish and what you were trying to do there in Virginia?
Probably because they felt that that man's life was in danger because they had guns on him. But look, I mean, I've had SWAT run up in on me 3 times with M16s.
Yeah.
You know, I watched... my children's generation get murdered on YouTube and people do nothing. They just sit there and film it. And nobody does anything. Why they went there, I guess they felt because it was the BLM and they had some sniper somewhere. I'm not sure why they went there and not here. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, that's just it, because it doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, unless it was an elaborate scheme, I guess to, in essence, get it out of people's systems. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah, you did your support for King of Country. It didn't work out. Okay,
and
well,
that may have been it.
Like, I mean, you know, I got 10% paranoia going on in my head as a truther, and, you know, I constantly think things are schemes. Like, I don't vocalize everything that I think, right? I look at things, I go, oh, this might be this might be that. But, I mean... Like, what I just don't get is, like, if you had, like, 100 people, and you said, okay, one lineup is a jump in a pot of boiling water, and the other lineup is a jump into a pot of frozen salted water, or ice-cold water, just take your pick, and then watch them go like lemmings. But the thing is that they don't see a third option.
Right.
You follow? Like, I mean, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, like, can't people see that, like, oh, both of those suck? Like, what the...
Right.
You know? I gotta talk to management. I gotta talk to people. What the hell's going on here? You know? And people don't. It's like, I'll take the cold water, thank you. I don't mean that they're idiots like that. It's just like, I just get mad. I get frustrated when I think about people and the decisions they make because they're blinded by, now mind you, they're bombarded and mind controlled and brainwashed by the mass media. I guess. It's, it, once you turn it off, you can't turn it back on. But it's hard to turn it off. Right. I get that. And so many people just, like, can't escape. I think maybe that's possibly the biggest hurdle. Like, everything from, like, the mind control of the mass media. And I think it's the illusion of choice. I think people have an illusion of choice.
Yeah. Facebook or Twitter. Roger. American Idol. Or Dancing with the Stars. There.
Let's go ahead and take a short recess at this point. All right, we'll be in recess.